Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Let's settle down. Do you hear that sound? Saints and singers gather round. There's plenty of things to talk about. So sit down at Choristers Lounge. From far and near, won't you come and hear a sweet, melodious call? Let us all unite in one accord. We're family after all. So let's settle down and listen to the sounds of the singers in Choristers Lounge. There's plenty of things to talk about. So sit down at the lounge.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the Choristers Lounge. I am your host, Brother Matthew Caldwell. It's an honor and a privilege that you tune back in to the second episode of the Choristers Lounge. And before we get started, just want to encourage you to like, share, and subscribe to this channel. And actually, as the episode is going on today, feel free to leave a comment in the chat as well. We want to make this as interactive as possible, not just for our panelists that are on today, but for our viewing audience as well. So your participation is very much appreciated and very much needed. We thank you for, again, tuning in to the Choristers Lounge. I am fortunate today to be joined by another all-star panel here. We have a few that have returned, and we have a new panelist that I'm going to introduce here in a few moments. But returning to the Choristers Lounge today, we have St. Lisa Eves of Atlanta, Georgia. We have Brother Richard Hurt of Wilmington, Delaware. We have St. Naomi Shepherd of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, who will be matriculating at the Temple University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania very, very soon. Amen. Beautiful. And we have St. Leah Crowdy Vulcans, who is actually now matriculating at Howard University. We're certainly thankful to have her joining us today as well. All right. And we're pleased to welcome Brother J.C. Carey Jr. Is it Jr. or the second? I want to make sure I get that. The second, Brother J.C. Carey, the second to the Choristers Lounge. And we're going to start, you know, focusing on Brother J by asking him the same two questions that we asked of our other panelists at our pilot episode. So, Brother J, first question for you, when, where, and by whom were you appointed a chorister?
I was, it was the year that my father was made district chorister over the Mid-Atlantic. I want to say it was April 2007. It was the Sabbath right after the Passover. I was in Baltimore, the Baltimore Tabernacle, and then Elder Charles W. Harris was the pastor, and he made me a chorister that same year, the Sabbath after that, as I said.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I'm going to tell you, I think it might have been a little bit earlier than that, Brother Jay. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I was appointed 2007, okay. Which means your father had already been serving for a couple of years. So I would say you're probably looking at around 2000, no later than 2006.
Okay.
And possibly even earlier than that. So I'll say probably you're probably looking at somewhere between 2004, 2006 that you were appointed. So you're going on close to 20
years.
If not 20 years, you're right around 20
right
years.
There. Yes,
yes indeed. But so the second question for you, Brother Jay, is who are some of your mentors and inspirations?
Well, the most impactful I would have to say is Brother J.C. Carey the first. He's my first music teacher. And when I say music, I mean trumpet, teach me how to read music, how to sing. You know, never really taught me how to compose, but he gave me some pointers. But Brother J.C. definitely was the most impactful. I have a few others, but Brother JC's was the most impactful.
Yes, indeed. Brother JC's name came up a few times in our early discussions with Lisa, myself. So he's had an influence on so many yes. choristers throughout the years. And I can only imagine, you know, just that with that, you know, that father-son yes, relationship, sir. Just some of those things that some of those just being able, being around him as often as you could be just by that familial familial arm. I can only imagine just how much he's impacted you. So, and we're certainly going to keep him in our prayers as well. You know, all thoughts, prayers, and positive energy going toward Brother JC Carrisburg.
Yes, and if I could just share this, it just came to mind. One of the things that we used to do is we watch movies, but at some point we start humming along with the music. And one of our favorite movies we used to do that to was the Ten Commandments in 1956. So here starts singing the bass. Then I find myself singing either the tenor part, and he'll switch to the tenor and I switch to the bass. And you know, that was just how we were bond. And we're sitting there watching a movie that we'll start singing. So I do that to this day. So he's definitely had a huge impact.
Beautiful.
Lord, help me. Help me sing. Help me bring my God again. Oh, yes, you're moving. Yes, I'm moving. Oh, yes, you're
moving by the power.
I'm
moving by the power.
Oh, yes, you're
moving by the power.
Moving
by the power.
How to be
moving by the power.
Without a doubt.
There
was the
moving by the power.
Who brought me
moving
up
by the power.
He picked me
moving
up
by the power.
And turned me around
by the power.
He placed my feet
by the power.
On solid ground
moving by the power.
Oh.
Everything is moving by the power.
Beautiful. Yes, now, I'll say this about Brother J before we go into our discussion. One of the things that I admired about Brother J was his love for, and I think St. Lisa mentioned this, just his love for developing the talent of young people and just giving them an opportunity. And that's certainly something that I can attest to, something that St. Lisa, you know, mentioned last time. So again, and those of you that are watching, again, put something in the chat about Brother JC, you know, some of those positive impacts that he had on you all. And there are so many others like him that just really helped to give us a foundation and really promote and give us a welcoming vibe and nurturing vibe.
Absolutely.
For us as young people to continue, you know, on this musical journey. So thank you for that, Brother Jay. And again, welcome to the Choristers Lounge. Looking forward to your contributions to today's discussion and all of our discussions moving
forward. Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Forward. So our topic today is on the art of conducting. The art of conducting. And as choristers, that is a major part of what we do, you know, at all of our services, right? And I thought maybe the best place to start with the conversation about conducting is to maybe just get an idea from our panelists of how they define the term or the action conducting. When you hear the word conducting or being a conductor, what comes to mind when you hear that? So how do you define that? How does that influence your activity as a chorister? And I'll actually start, you know, since we're here with you, Brother Jay, when you hear, you know, about conducting, being a conductor, what comes to mind?
It's just leading the choir ensemble through the song. Yeah. Bringing them in, every movement that the conductor does has a meaning to it. You know, whether you bring in a person, whether you want them to come down a certain part, you want them to come up in volume or go down in volume. Mm-hmm. If you want it to be The attack of the song, you want it to be either light or you want it to be big or however you want to do it. We are leading the song. We are leading the song as far as directing.
All right. So thank you for that, Brother Jay. And something that I liked that you mentioned about was about the dynamics. You use terms like, you know, if you want something to be light, maybe something a little bit darker, you know, things like that. Those are all things that, you know, choristers can control in their conducting and in their directorship. So those are all things that are very, very important. Anybody else have anything you wanted to add to that? What comes to mind when you hear the term conducting, you know, conductor, directing, all those types of things?
So, Brother Matt?
Yes, sir.
Just the music teacher in me. Pardon. We use those terms interchangeably, directing or director, conducting or conductor, but those are two different things. A director is simply, he can get you through the song. A conductor deals with each part moving at the same time. He knows when to bring one part down, one part up, the dynamics of a song. He knows how to interpret the music, and he also knows how to get that from the group that he's directing or he's conducting. So those are two different things. You see, we have quite a few directors, but you can tell the difference between a director and a conductor. So those things we probably need to separate in order to understand a little bit better. Right.
I like that. I like that. So who can, what's the root word of conductor? Is it conduct? Right? Conduct. And is there something called a conduit? You know, we hear a term conduit. Do you know what we think of when we hear of a conduit? Who can kind of maybe merge those together? Any thoughts about, so you have a conductor, but we're a conduit for what? What are we trying to merge in our conductor? I think Brother Rich just kind of alluded to it. Brother Jay alluded to it as well. But there's almost something that is working through that conductor. You kind of have the music, you have an interpretation, you have all that trying to be transferred and conveyed to the singers, so that the singers can then what? Convey that message to those that are listening to the song, the performance. So any thoughts or any pieces on that? Comments on that?
Brother Matt, I have some thoughts on that.
Help yourself. Yes, ma'am.
Without having looked at the words conductor or director previously, and not only thinking of them in terms of formal music, but in the Kakasot context, but I hear what Brother Rich is saying. So using your analogy, though, I do know the root word con, C-O-N, means more, with. And so you're with the singers, especially in the Church of God and Saints of Christ. I think in some other settings, the director / conductor is more outside of the group. And, you know, he or she is instructing them what to do. All in the, but conducting is with. I do know that's the root word for that. And so we are with the singers, sing with the singers. Mm-hmm. And we're singing, interpreting, directing, conducting, all of that. You're bringing all of that together. And of course, Elder Carey's favorite, with the spirit of understanding.
Absolutely.
So I just think that there is a slight difference, as Brother Rich said, and that you will notice in our singing that the conductor not only moves the baton, but is fully in step with everything, singing with the singers. Mm-hmm. So that's my first point I'll make on that.
Great point. Great point. Right, Rich, yes, sir.
So, Lisa, now you touching stuff now.
Okay. Let's go. Yes, sir.
Elder Walker used to tell me that I reminded him of a famous conductor, Toscanini. And I never heard of this guy before in my life. But I went home and I looked him up. And I started to study him. And at that point, I understood that conductors in the instrumental world actually are doing it with the orchestra. If you ever watch a conductor conduct, he's so involved. His facial expressions or her facial expression, some of them actually sing the parts while they're directing and conducting. I've had that experience, in fact, myself, with conducting a band. You start singing because it's just a part of you. You can't get away from it. When music is in you, it's in you. On the other hand, I used to talk with Elder Plummer. He used to tell me, he says, whoever's directing that choir, the chorister, has no business singing with the choir. He said he shouldn't be singing. And I understood that too, because our mode is different, because we have to do more listening to make sure that the parts are gelling, because there is no instrumental accompaniment to mask any of the so-called bad sound, you know? So we're doing a whole lot more listening.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Now, it just so happens that a lot of us come from Tabernacle. We don't have a choice but to sing with the choir, because if we don't sing, then there's a part that's missing. But I've had the experience a few times to be able to direct the choir and not have to sing. And it's kind of fun, because now you can hear, you can really listen and see. But conductors in the instrumental world actually do perform with the group. We may not have an instrument per se at the same time, but we're singing the parts, and you can sometimes hear them loudly while they're doing it. So if you all get a chance to sometimes study some conductors and watch them with the Philharmonic Orchestra or the Boston Pops or some of these other orchestras, you watch these conductors. And this particular one, I tell you, when Elder Walker told me about him, I went right to it, and I still go and study some of his videos and recordings, because it helps us better to express, you know, that conduit you were talking about, Brother Matt.
Yep.
We're getting the spirit. The spirit is coming through us. Now, the whole choir should have spirit, but we're getting the spirit, and we are conveying that to the choir in order to pull a certain result and get a certain effect. So now we're interpreting the music as conductors, and we're trying to get that same concept to come through the voices of the singers. So it's all inclusive.
Absolutely.
It's all inclusive.
Absolutely. That was a great point. And I'll say some of the dynamic directors conductors that I've seen, they're able to merge, you know, that spirit, the interpretation of the song in such a brilliant way, that it really helps to, raise the level of the choir and the singers that we're serving at that moment. So something I want to ask to all of us, just to kind of get our thoughts on that, is, you know, what is our responsibility as conductors to the singers or to the choir that we are conducting? You know, I think sometimes we think that the singers are, you know, how would I say this? That the singers are, you know, they kind of have to bring their own check, and they absolutely do. But do we as conductors have a responsibility to the singers? And that's
Brother Matt.
Go right on ahead, Sam.
That was actually a very good question, because I actually had a lot of thoughts sitting here listening to everybody, because, like, that's like both my fields. Like, you know, I've been in this whole orchestra thing since like third grade. So I'm like, yes, we're talking about, you know, the real instrumental part. But, you know, just being a chorister there, both, you know, as having a responsibility to be a chorister. And you know how we get told, you know, to conduct ourselves accordingly. That's what I think of. Because being a director, you know, if you like take someone that's in the acting industry, for instance, a director is normally the person that oversees, where you have the conductor in an orchestra that is so into the knit and grit of it, like throughout all the practices and things like that, which is why this really is a craft. You have to understand the orchestra that you're working with. And I honestly see that a lot more with singing, because these are our instruments. These aren't things that just can be fine-tuned overnight like any other sort of instrument that's made by man. This is a gift that we have. And as conductors, it's our job to conduct the spirit in the correct ways. How can we withdraw the harmonies from these voices in the best way possible? How can we uplift somebody completely? That's what I look at.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Any other thoughts on that? That was wonderful.
I really appreciate. Yes, sir. I really appreciate everybody's input, especially St. Liz. She hit a point where I was kind of thinking while she was talking, you have to, as far as the choir or the local choir, you have to connect with your singers, and the singers have to connect with you. And you can only do that. Well, I won't say only, but for me, it's rehearsing. So, you know, doing a lot of stuff, impromptu things on the spot, that could be cool. But to build that relationship from conductor and choir, it has to be in rehearsal. You gotta get in, like St. Leah said, with the grit of it. You got to be in there with them. I mean, sometimes you can do things on the Sabbath or on during any service, but you really, really have to come together and rehearse. And that's one of the things that I see a lot of, we kind of gotten away from. I know for me, but I think we can grow. It's about us growing together. This is the with part that we're talking about. The relationship. And we as conductors have to lead the way with that. So that's what I think.
I love that. So what St. Leah said, something that she said that I just wrote down, we have to conduct ourselves accordingly. And what Brother Jay just mentioned about, you know, the connection that we have with our singers. Singers, everybody that's watching, rehearsal is a must. Absolutely, positively. A must. If we're going to grow as, not just as I know this is the chorister's lounge, but every chorister is a singer first, right? If we're going to grow at all, if we're really going to fine tune our craft, it must be done. Not just on getting on the Sabbath day. We have to spend some time during the week, and we have to make ourselves available during rehearsal. It's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right? When we come together, the connection, not just between chorister and singer, but between singer and chorus, and between singer and singer, right? But we come together, and I think it was Brother Rich that talked about, you know, us gelling our voices together. The only way that you can do that is to practice, right? And again, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent, right? So what you practice, you know, becomes the normal for you. And if you're practicing the wrong things, that becomes a permanent fixture of what it is that comes out in your overall performance. So I'm really, really, you know, pleased with what St. Leah, Brother Jay just shared relative to that piece of it all. Any other comments or thoughts on that piece, the conducting, the relationship, the responsibility of a conductor to the singers?
I'll just add another little piece, maybe a phrase or slogan that I live by is you have to build the choir you want and sing with the choir you have, or conduct the choir you have. Brother Jay said something.
Say that one more time. I'm going to write that down. So build the choir you want.
Which takes into account Brother Jay with the rehearsals and developing singers and working with singers. And you start here and you see yourself growing. You build, you work on build as a chorister, you work on building the choir you want, but you have to conduct the choir you have. And so what I mean by that is on the Sabbath, and it, I can't direct as if, you know, the old days we got 50 people in the choir when we've got five people in the choir. As much as I love old songs and as much as I might know them, if those five people in the choir don't know them, I can't conduct to that choir. You know what I'm saying? So I base every Sabbath or every time I direct on the choir that I have present at that moment. And then in rehearsals and other times, if it is my goal to say, I would really love to strike up so-and-so and sing it all the way through.
Like
we did, the Lord told Abraham yesterday, and that middle portion was a little rusty. But so then that tells us what we need to build on, what we need to work on. But please, my tip for us choristers is direct the choir that you have and build the choir that you want.
I love that. And that goes back to what Brother Jay mentioned about the relationship building, right? So what ends up happening, and just as choristers, when we put that time in, you know, at rehearsal, and it, as singers, you know, of course, first and foremost, as singers, when you build that connection, you're able to strengthen and build the choir, build up the confidence, the repertoire of the singers. There will be times, right? Even though I may not have, you know, the 50 voice choir that we may have had 50 years ago, right? But if I know that we rehearsed The Lord Told Abraham 2 weeks ago, rehearsal, and it was pretty good with those five people, because we put in the time in rehearsal, right? I've built the choir now that I want, right? And then I can perhaps let's try this. And then it's up to us as choristers to put the singers in the best situation possible to perform the music that we've selected as a choir. Now, that means we have to be mindful, and this is another piece of conducting, being mindful, like St. Lisa said, of the singers that you have. So listen, that may mean that if only have these five, maybe the pitch may not be as high, you know, as it may have been with the, that's something that I'll know by spending more time with the singers in rehearsals and things along those lines. But I really, really love that. So again, if you don't hear anything else from this episode today, rehearsal and building relationships are crucial and vitally important. Sometimes, this goes back to something that Brother Jay said. Sometimes we, like to infuse a certain amount of energy with some of the tricks and the loop-de-loos and everything. Those all have its place. Those all have its place. But there is nothing like being part of a fine-tuned choir when you've rehearsed with them, and they almost know the song better than you do as the director, right? But that's just because of the time that you put in, the investment that we've all made in our craft, right? And the deposits that we've made in our singers, you know, during our rehearsals. So I think that's very, very, very important there. I appreciate those comments. Anything else on the our responsibility to the singers? We're rich, yes, sir.
So, tell you, Lisa, hit on something. You just tap that small on keyboard there. One of my favorite sayings is, "Know your personnel." You got to know who is sitting in that choir on any given Saturday, because you might have had one group last week that could do anything out of the songbook. You might have a group this week that is completely the opposite. So regardless of what we think we want to do, goes back to our last episode, we have to listen to the Spirit and be in tune with what's going on, because everything won't work every time. St. Leah said something that alluded to one of my favorite sayings, which is discipline. I am big on discipline, and not discipline as in you do what I say type of discipline. It's the discipline in you as an artist, as a singer, knowing how to take your emotions and channel them into the right direction. I've noticed that we have a habit now of we say give vent to the spirit. My interpretation of that is, if I'm supposed to be singing and I give vent to the spirit, if we got a choir about 20 people and 5 or 10 of us give vent to the spirit, who's singing? What happens to the song? So we have to learn how to take that energy, channel those emotions into our singing. And what we don't realize is that we will get more out of the singing, and that will touch the members in the congregation and have them shouting and screaming and doing, crying, whatever emotion comes over them. We have the power to invoke that on the congregation. And I think years ago, the singers understood that a lot better than we do, because we're in a different time where we just give in to our feelings. We just give in, sometimes to our detriment. But I think the discipline is huge, and us, the self-discipline. And a lot of times the singers will follow the conductor. So when you have the chorister up there that's losing it, and you know they can't half conduct because they just shouting and doing this, the rest of the choir is going to follow suit. So as good as it feels to give vent to the spirit, what does that actually mean? Does that mean that you have to lose all sense of what you're doing or your responsibility? My band director in college used to say, he said, the best band is a well-disciplined band. And we proved it time and time and time again, because when you know what to do and when to do it and how to do it, trust me, as a professional musician, sometimes I get overwhelmed just playing. You know, if you ever play jazz and it just touches you a certain way, I mean, we grooving. I can't put my horn down and, you know, I got to keep playing. So what do? I interpret that through my playing. So we should learn to interpret our emotions and our feelings through our singing, and that will pull something out, because our job is to touch the other. We're not here to entertain ourselves. We're here for a whole different purpose, and once we understand that purpose, then we can touch the congregation and possibly even draw members, because that music does something. There's probably a whole other conversation, but music works on frequencies and vibrations.
Come on now.
And you know, we start doing certain things and certain notes and certain chords, they touch certain emotions and they evoke certain things within us. If we understood that, our singing would go to a whole different level.
Yes.
You know, but we get stuck in some kind of zone that we in here instead of ascending. And once we do that, we're going to see something else that's way more powerful that we have.
So now I'm going to ask another question. So we just talked about our responsibility as conductors to the singers. What's our responsibility to the music as conductors? What is our responsibility to the music as conductors? What do we think? Let's kick that around for a little bit. Rich, I see you back on. Mike's yours.
Protect the integrity of the music. Ella Plummer used to say, I have to protect the integrity of the music of this choir. I understand it better now than I've ever done before. You can't reinvent the wheel. It's already invented. We don't have to put our stamp on a particular song. And that's the difference between a person who's a show person versus a person who was conducting. Show people put their stamp, their mark on a certain song. Oh, they did this. They did this. You know, we do. Let me show you how I can do this different than everybody else is doing it. When you stick to the script, you can pull the best out of what you're doing. You don't have to do any cartwheels and extra things, and the song is already the song. The song was the song almost 100 years before we started singing the song. We can't reinvent it. You can't go reinvent Thelonious Monk's Round Midnight. I don't care how many times you play it. You can't redo Night in Tunisia so many ways. The basis of the song is there. You have to keep it. Otherwise, we won't recognize it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when we want to sing Virginia Brady songs, we can't go in and try and redo it and say, well, I think I'm going to try this and do this differently. The song is a song. The flow is the flow. It's already naturally there. It was a God-given inspiration that they were given, and they put it together through the Spirit. So how are we going to come along and change that?
That's a great point. Great point. Any other thoughts on that, Jay?
Brother Matt, so, Rich, you hit on some stuff there, brother. When you said about the style of the chorister or conductor, my mind went to two people. One of my favorite composers, John Williams, and then Leonard Bernstein. I don't know if you...
I'm going to look him up. Got some homework.
Leonard Bernstein was more like a very animated type conductor. And he was one of Brother JC's, well, he is one of Brother JC's favorite conductors as well. But John Williams, very, not stiff, but, you know, he's very, you know.
Methodical. And,
yes. Thank you.
Methodical. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they both, I think the performance part is what it is. I think is what tells what a good conductor or a good, I don't know how to put it, but what really tells the story is the performance, is what leads up to the performance. Like I said, I'm very big on the time that you put in for the rehearsal. And then you said, Matt, you mentioned practice. Well, I was taught practice prepares you for the rehearsal. Rehearsal prepares you for the actual performance. When Sabbath day, you know, that's the performance time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so to protect, and I like what you said, the Elder Plummer, you quoted Elder Plummer, you have to protect the integrity of the music. But how does that really look, though? And what is that? You know, one can say from the conducting or directing piece, you know, you got to do it this way. Well, you know, Brother Earl Williams did it his way, you know, and got the same reaction as Evangelist Farrar or Brother Moses Farrar back then, or Elder Stevenson, or Brother Nate Hurt. They all had their own style, but they were able to inspire the singers in such a way, inspired everyone from the pulpit to the door. So my question is, what does that look like? Protect, you know, is it more so to the style or the musicianship, or what is it? I like that statement. Have to protect the integrity of the music. I love that, but I want to know what that looks like for Temple Bethel Kagasan.
So there's a responsibility that we have to the music, and there is also an interpretation that we have to try to link to. Now, of course, you have a few different things going on, right? You have the music itself, right? You have the way that the music was given to that composer. Then you have to try to figure out a way to convey how you interpret as the director, your interpretation of it, directing that to the singers under our conductorship in a way that meets the spirit of the day as well. Now that may look different from day to day. Like St. Lisa said, it may be because we only have, you know, five people there. You know, I may not necessarily interpret it the same way, that same song, with a different interpretation that day. But perhaps what Brother Rich was talking about or alluding to is we don't want to, in our interpretation of the music, miss the overall point of maybe what that composer was trying to convey in that composition. Is that kind of maybe where you were going, Brother Rich?
I have to say this. Some people are not going to like me after the day, but I'm okay with that. sometimes I feel like I'm coming to a church party because choruses have become DJs. We remix. We do a lot of remix. We remix from the middle of a verse in the middle of a song. And we do it over and over and over again. And then we try and switch to another song in the middle of the song to another verse that we might be able to link it together. But, you know, if you come up in an era where DJ or DJ with two turntables, he's mixing and he's scratching. Sometimes I feel like I'm watching a DJ on a podium, you know, and I'm just like, where are we going? Bishop Monroe used to say, as goes the church, so goes the world. It's turned into as goes the world, so goes the church. We are busy trying to appeal to people when that's not the purpose of the church originally. We're not supposed to appeal to people. People are supposed to be appealing to what we do. They want what we have, not we want to make it palatable for them. Because what we do is not supposed to be palatable for everybody. They say this highway is long and narrow.
And narrow. And few there are.
That means that this ain't for everybody. It just isn't, unfortunately. But those that gravitate to what we have and what we do, they see that this is a special jewel that we have. Mm-hmm. It's a rare jewel. Down to the singing. And we don't do the normal, you know, you listen to music now, gospel music as it was versus what it is. Oh, it's two completely different. If you take the lyrics out, I might can party to the same music on Saturday night, you know, and then you go to church on Sunday and they pretty much having a party, same dances. They just, you know, going for something different. But where is the difference? Where do you draw the line? And with us, there is a definitive line that has been drawn. We just need to not try to cover the line. Let the line be visible. It needs to be a line. Because how we are when we come into the tabernacle on the Sabbath is something different than what we are during the week when we out at home or whatever, how we talk with each other or interact with each other or whatever we do. But there is a difference because that day is different. So everything about us should be different. Now, what you do on the other side of the sun going down, that's not my business. But what we still should conduct ourselves a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But there should be a difference in what we do on that day. And even there should be a difference with us, period, as people during the week. We are a peculiar treasure. We should be different. And we shouldn't try and do things to bring people in and appeal. You hear sometimes ministers say, you know, we're losing our young people. Yeah, we are. But it might be because we are being no different than what's out there. We have to do something different. I could have been out in the street, but it was something about this church. One of my favorite songs is Give Me That Old Time Religion.
Good enough for me.
Good enough for me.
Yes, sir. Good for Paul and Silas. Come on now.
There you go. I don't need a remake on a religion. I don't need a remake on the music or nothing. I like what we have is different. I love it.
So let me, I'm gonna ask, and this is for anybody. Is there a place? Is there a place for a remix at any time, any point, anywhere?
Can I jump in here?
Go right on ahead, St. Lisa.
I was going to say, even before you asked that question, it's about balance. And so if you take walking, for example, everybody walks differently. But you know a walk that's not right when you see it. You know what I mean? If you see somebody walking on one foot, you know that, wait a minute, that's not how you walk. But if you look at Brother Rich walk, if you look at Brother Matthew walk, you'll say they walk differently. But you know when it's out of the parameters. And kind of, so it's about that balance, interpreting and protecting the integrity, but at the same time, interpreting the music, keeping it fresh. Not so fresh that you had a party, Brother Rich, because I could have, you know, going somewhere else for the party, but not so stale that nobody can relate. If these songs were composed 100 years ago, and for those times, these are dreadful days, these are perilous times, how does that equate to what's going on now? And sometimes you have to, I'm not talking about the pure, just insane remix that we're in now. So we have to find whatever that balance is and allow choristers to interpret and conduct, but within reason. Again, if we start hopping on the pulpit, there is, you know, it's like there's a pitcher's mound and a batter's area. Stay within the area. You know what I'm saying? Is everything has a boundary.
Yeah.
And so as choristers, we're going to have to, I can see for the current generation, we're going to have to find the boundary all over the pulpit, all in front of the ark, all over, more side to side than up and down. I came up with up and down choristers. Yeah. If we get to that question, y'all know what I mean. Our form is erect. Our form is up and down. I see a lot of side shimmies now. I see a lot of waist directing. I was taught baton in the air. So we got to find out what that balance is, talk a little bit about what we used to do, and a little bit of how to keep it fresh and relevant. The bread of life, sing unto the Lord a new song. Doesn't mean, but there's still boundaries. Like I said, everything has boundaries. Everything has a framework, including our lives, which make us the peculiar treasure. I don't want to go so far right or so far left that we don't recognize Kagasak music anymore. But don't, as you know, we could use the leader's words to suit our own. Don't fence me in, though, either. Don't have it so rigid and so boring that nobody, even the conductor, can feel or convey the spirit. So, you know, we got to find that balance. And that's what I'm praying when we turn. But some teaching has to be done on our form, because our form is way off right now.
Mm-hmm. I want to know. Keep your mic unmuted, St. Lise. I'm coming right back in there. So you talked about that.
Plug up, but go ahead.
No problem. You talked about that straight up and down as opposed to the side to side. You talked about you were taught about keeping that baton up. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, I just, like I said, most of the time we're directing now in mid body.
Mm-hmm. As far as like your torso kind of, bro, Blake is going to laugh here, from like the clavicle, maybe down to your belly, something like that. Okay.
That's not even a director's stance. Again, you're conducting or directing, you know, hands up. But more or less that bodily form as well. And we have some of the greats. I know some of you all can picture some of the people. Brother Earl Williams has already mentioned some other greats, male and female.
Yeah.
Like St. Lucretia Donaldson.
Yes,
indeed. Somebody who I remember who had a beautiful form. We have others still alive today.
Tied up in the air. Yes, indeed. That's
St. Marguerite Bradfield. Straight, erect. I get the hunch. I get the hands down. I get the slope body. I don't understand what, like, can we have some practice on our form, what it's supposed to look like? I grew up with some people who remembers my brother, Brother Reginald Farrar.
Absolutely.
Form. I'm sorry for the young people, but there got to be some videos out here, or ask some people who know them or knew them. Now we're in a slouch generation. And I'm hoping that some of that we can practice maybe some sessions on the form of directing.
Beautiful. Now I love that. And right before, I see Brother Jay, I see Saint Leah. So we'll go in that order. Brother Jay, thank you, Saint Leah. That was great. That was wonderful.
I really want to hear what Saint Leah has to say, but so I won't be. I'll try to be brief.
Take your time. No, you're good. That's what we're here for.
But see, one thing, just like there's an art in conducting, there's a art in composing. There's an art in arranging. There's an art in remixing too. A lot of these remixes don't make sense. And I'm just going to say it. So, but this now, this other part that I'm alluding to is what St. Lisa said, that who's teaching them though? It's like we expected them to know this because how it looks to them or whoever they are. It may look as, oh, they doing it like this, so I can do this too, you know, but it, like, there's a time and place to do it. I feel as though if you're going to remix like that, I don't know. Is there a place to remix? I think, Matt, I think you said so. Where is there a place for us to do that? Because that is an art form. People actually do make money doing that. Whether it's outside of the gospel realm or whatever, but it's all an art form. Now, whether we like it or not, that's something different. But again, and then going to something that Brother Rich was saying about how songs were sung back when. So let's take the song Great Source of Light. So if I was to try to do Great Source of Light, I would have to identify that time or, you know, when it was composed. And to me, Great Source of Light reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. So you would have, but everybody doesn't think like me. Right. So to try to direct it now in 2024, you know, it's going to seem like, and then they're thinking again, some of the young people may be thinking, like if I do it like this, it's going to get the hype. So, you know, a lot of times people try to go for the hype, meaning getting people excited. But, you know, and some people equate that to being inspired. My thing with music and with our music is to inspire. Every time when I direct, it's to inspire. Now, if I have to do something a little different, it's not for me because I'm inspired looking at other people being inspired. You know, so it has to be some, and I believe that's how the spirit works. That's how, and I know, you know, that's just how I feel. Now, I have so much more to say, but I'm going to give way to St. Lear.
Now, that was great, Jake. That was absolutely wonderful. That was wonderful. St. Lear.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. I'm just listening to everything, and I'm trying to make sure I just keep repeating the same things in my head so I don't forget anything. But the one thing that I keep hearing is that word respect, especially respect the integrity of the song. And that's just very important to me because it's not just that. That's not just our responsibility to the music, but we have to mirror the spirit that these conductors, composers were in when they composed these songs. Like there's a saying, water has memory, so does spirit. These are things that we have to remember when we get up there. And in terms of remixing, I don't like looking at it as remixing, but more of a redirection. Like if I see that these people are in a certain space when I sing this verse of a song, I don't want to go to this next part yet. If I'm feeling moved in a way, then we're going to go right back and stay at this high point until I achieved what I'm supposed to do that day. Which is why when I get up every time to lead for the Sabbath, I say a prayer, you know, just having a portion of the spirit that these people were in. These people are legends. And when you put your inner humanity aside and let God come through and use you, you can see it in preachers, not just conductors. I've seen people where their tone of voice has changed depending on the spirit that they were ushered into. And that's just something that I look at personally now because, like, even listening to how songs were, you know, whether it's like a lyrical edit or things like that, I'm just like, what authority do we have now? These songs are over 100 years old. What authority do we have now to change these songs, Lisa? As our job, just respecting the music is to mirror the spirit that was, you know, put in the song the second it was composed, which is why scoring can be very difficult because there's a difference hearing a voice through a piece of music. And even though it's a lot of technology, it's a lot of spirit that comes from me. I try and put myself in a certain place. That's why when I score, I cannot just get up because people have asked me, why don't you do this song? Why don't you do that song? I'm like, I didn't come up with this stuff. This just came to me. Like, that's the spirit. That's what just some songs that I may score or arrange just won't sound the same as the other ones because it's a certain spirit and I cannot copy that, which is why that word spirit is so important. This has never been a man-made thing. This is a force, an entity much stronger than we are. And as musicians, we have to respect that through the music that we conduct. I'm so sorry that was a lot, but
that was beautiful. Glad we got it. Glad we got it. St. Lee, you speak like a seasoned director, but you've been through some life things, right? And I think life will teach us how to it will temper how we interpret our music. Some of that comes out in our conducting, comes out in our conversation as well. So that was absolutely beautiful. Did I see Jay? Did you have something else?
Yes. St. Lyd, beautiful. Beautiful. Everybody, beautiful. You brought up a point, though, about changing the music. How can we change the music? It's like you said, it's not about changing, it's redirecting or maybe a different interpretation of it. Only person of my understanding, now this is just my understanding, only person who can change any song is the composer. And if you're not the composer, you can't change it. It either be an arrangement or something of that sort. But like if I took, and I do have an arrangement like this, I put a Caribbean feel to the song. I just want to say thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Do, do, do. I didn't change the song. I just put an arrangement, what the Spirit gave me to do. So is that wrong with Kagasai? Or is that following the Spirit that God has placed within me? That's a question.
I'm gonna tell you, Jay, I don't even know if we're gonna have enough time to answer that today. I already know, I think where our next topic is gonna go for our next episode. And I think we're gonna want to spend some time with composition and arrangement at our next episode. And I'll say this, and I think we're probably gonna wrap up here in the next 5 or so minutes. So to that question, is there a place for remixing, as St. Lee said, the redirection and things like that? My answer, I think there is a place for it. And it's our job as conductors to know when that time is and striking a balance between all those things. I think we also have to be, when we're respecting the music, right? We also have to remember that this redirection, this remix, what have you, is not the original song, right? So going back to rehearsal, when I go to rehearsal, I'm not necessarily going to rehearse the remix or the redirection, right? Because the moment, like St. Lee said, the moment will determine the spirit and the interpretation for that particular day, right? But when it comes time to rehearse it, we have to make sure that what we're rehearsing and what we're being mindful of is the original composition, the original integrity of that. And the only way that we can effectively redirect, whatever that word is by understanding what the standard is, right? If you don't know what the standard is, and this is for all courses out there, if you don't know what the standard for the song is, do not even try to remix, because that's almost disrespectful to the song. You're trying to remix, redirect something that you don't even know in its most pure and divinely original format. So until you know that as to the best of your ability, choristers, us as choristers, the way that a chorister learns a song is slightly different than the way a singer is going to learn a song. What I mean by that, a chorister has to learn a song from every angle, from every voice, because ultimately one of our responsibilities as directors and as conductors is to be able to teach this divinely inspired music. Now, if you have never been a composer, you don't necessarily know what it's like to have something that was divinely given to you changed for a different reason. So I want to encourage us all as directors, all right? Spend some time with the Holy Spirit and become a little bit more familiar with what it means to be a composer, to be given something divine. I see several composers on this line right here, several of them,
you know, that have been given something divinely, and you kind of put that together. Arrangement, like Brother Jay said, is kind of its own thing, right? You're kind of taking an original concept. You're still giving credit to that original concept, but maybe you have another thought, and maybe that'll come out, you know, in a concert or something like that. I don't know. But I do, you know, think we need as a congregation, right? I was just talking to Evangelist Farrar earlier today, and he said most of the songs in our songbook were composed close to 70, 80 years ago. And I think St. Lisa mentioned, well, how does, and I think even Brother Jay, how does that interpret to 2024? And sometimes that's what ends up happening. I'm sorry, I got to make sure I'm pulling this back here. Sometimes that's what ends up happening. We're trying to maybe adjust something, right, from 80 years ago to make it palatable to 2024. That has its place, right? But maybe let's spend some time silently, you know, in the center of our own lives, or just over the course of our own daily lives, and see how the Lord reveals something musically to us, right? And you'll be surprised. That is just as that divine revelation musically is still alive today as it was when St. Virginia Bridey composed her song, when Elder Charles Crawford composed his songs, when St. B. Plummer composed her songs, when St. Marguerite Bradfield composed her song, when Elder Stevenson composed his songs. It's still alive. It's still well. That's a muscle that we as choristers need to kind of, you know, exercise a bit more. And what will end up happening when the Lord blesses you with the composition, you'll see how important it is to make sure that the responsibility that you have to protect what was divinely given should always be there, should always be something that we kind of keep in our forefront. So I definitely think there's a place for all of that, but striking a balance between all of it is something that we do. And that's essentially what it means to be a conductor, what it means to be a conduit to all these various things that are being kind of brought our way. So this has been a wonderful conversation. I thank you all for taking the time to stop by the Choristers Lounge today. And again, our goal is to promote these conversations that allows for that intergenerational collaboration where we're unhindered by our geographic location. And the topic today was certainly meaningful. Hopefully you got something out of it as much as I think all of our panelists got out of it today. Again, share, like, subscribe, put some comments in the chat. We're looking forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Choristers Lounge. Why? Because there's plenty of things to talk about, as Brother Eliezer Zakarie said. So we just thank you for sitting down today in the Choristers Lounge. God bless and keep you is our prayer.
There's plenty of things to talk about, so